Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
I am Bob Gibson, and thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. We focus on the Trinity League, and later on in the program, we will talk to two of the great baseball coaches from the Trinity League. Eric Borba from Orange Lutheran High School, who just won the NHSI tournament back in North Carolina. And then Brett Kay, the Jay Serra head coach. They just won the Boris Classic. So two of the great baseball teams here in Southern California, and we will talk about their big tournament victories later on in the program, as I mentioned. Let's kick off the show this week by welcoming in Hank Evers. He is the Director of Development and Communications with the Orange Catholic Foundation, and we have a big event coming up. Hank, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us here on Catholic Sports View this week.
What a pleasure to be here, honestly. I'm excited. I thank you for the opportunity. This is a lot of fun,
yeah,
too. And it's great to be able to share so much good information, you know, with the listening audience. So thank you for this chance.
Absolutely, and it's what we want to do. We want to let everybody know about the big breakfast coming up, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But I kind of want to talk about what the Orange Catholic Foundation does. Let's start from ground zero, and let's talk about what the organization does.
Boy, I really appreciate that, too. So the Orange Catholic Foundation, a lot of people refer to it as the OCF, but it's the Orange Catholic Foundation. It's been in existence since the year 2000. It was created by Bishop Todd Brown. And essentially, we are the philanthropic arm of the diocese. So you look at it that way. We raise, manage, grow, and grant the funds for the diocese, for all of the ministries. Many people look at the fundraising at their parish, like the PSA, Pastoral Services Appeal. Everybody's familiar with that. We do operate that. We actually create the marketing message. We work with the parishes to raise the funds, and then we manage both the investment and the distribution, the granting of the funds. So very well known for that. But well beyond that, we raise money for so many wonderful Catholic causes and ministries here in the diocese, one of which is Catholic education. And, you know, when we look at Catholic education, we're blessed here in the Diocese of Orange. We have 32 Catholic elementary schools, and we're not shrinking. You know, you look across the country and you see so many dioceses that are shrinking, both the number of parishes and the schools, and we're growing. In fact, there was a recent article about Christ Our Savior Church in Santa Ana. There's a new church being built. You don't hear about that too often in other areas of the country. But anyway, focusing on Catholic education, we do. We raise funds for tuition assistance, which is very important, as you can imagine, because the cost of education today is expensive.
Sure.
But the value of a Catholic education is incredibly high. So we hope and pray that parents will see the value and they pay according to their means, but sometimes that's not enough. So we need to supplement that. And we do that with tuition assistance programs. And that's what the Orange Catholic Foundation, one of the many things that the Orange Catholic Foundation does. So this past year, we raised and granted well in excess of, I think it was $2.4 million just in tuition assistance. And that helps, oh, so many hundreds of children and families just achieve, let me put it this way, it allows the children to become much better versions of themselves.
Right.
And that's something I think many people are familiar with from a phrase from Matthew Kelly, who, in a good little, you know, juxtaposition here, who happened to be one of our keynote speakers at the Conference on Business and Ethics a few years ago. He was here with Rick Warren. We typically have two speakers each year, And 1, 2, 3, 4 years ago, I believe it was, we had Matthew Kelly along with Rick Warren. But we'll talk more about, you know, keynotes and people who have spoken at it. But yeah, to address the Orange Catholic Foundation, I think people just need to understand that the Orange Catholic Foundation clearly is that philanthropic arm of the diocese. And we manage so many funds. In fact, we're almost at 100 funds right now. And these are mostly, we have many donor-advised funds. So, you know, if someone wants to become engaged philanthropically and ensure that their Catholic cause receives funding in a particular way, they can talk to us, and we can work with them potentially to establish a fund in their name,
yeah.
Right? That's the Orange Catholic Foundation.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think, a very important part of it, which is Catholic education. We won't get into the politics of public education because there's plenty of that going on
in
the world today. But what I want to focus on is the renewed interest in Catholic education. There seems to be a renewed focus on people who are looking at putting their kids within a private structure. And certainly Catholic schools have been doing that for you know, many decades.
Yeah, well, one of the things that really, when you look at a Catholic education, it's a private education, and parents, you know, one of the first things they may think of, especially today, may be safety. Okay, so yeah, it's a safe environment. But in addition to that, you know, and the quality of education, which is sterling. I mean, it's outstanding. What Catholic education provides is an opportunity for a child to build character, to understand Christian values, to, you know, when I said become a better version of yourself, I really mean that.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, it's called respect, you know, respect for the parents, respect for everyone in society, and to ingrain value, Christian value, is huge. To be, you know, it builds character, and that's really what we need going forward. But in addition to all that, you know, you look at the track record and the percentage of students that graduate from a Catholic elementary school. It's virtually 100% go on, you know, to high school, complete high school, and go on to college, especially those that go to a Catholic high school. I believe it's darn near 100% that go on to college and finish college. So, the numbers speak for themselves, and I'm not going to quote a lot of numbers here, but it really is impressive.
Yeah, it really, I can see, I've been covering news and sports here in Southern California for over 25 years, and when I go to the private schools, when I go to Mater Dei, Servite, Santa Margarita, all the great Catholic schools here, it's yes sir, no sir, very nice to meet you. Right, so it's a different caliber of student sometimes that you see there because of the values that they're learning there at the schools. It really does make a difference in these kids' lives, and you can see it for sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, looking at Catholic education as being really important, we years ago, in fact, 16 years ago, created a, by the way, that was before I joined the Orange Catholic Foundation. But so 16 years ago, the Orange Catholic Foundation at Marywood held the very first Conference on Business and Ethics. Very small event. I believe it was like a spaghetti dinner held in the gym, and it raised, you know, hundreds of dollars or what have you. But it was an idea. It was an idea, a germ, you know, that grew. It germinated, and as it expanded over the years, we've now become literally the number one nonprofit breakfast event in Orange County. 4 years in a row, and this is a statement of fact from the Orange County Business Journal. So, and it's predicated on how much you raise, people attending, etc. And it's just become one of the most successful. But here's the key. I would say the Conference on Business and Ethics has become the premier event in Orange County where a faith-based community of influential business, religious, academic, and philanthropic leaders can gather, knowing that they share a common commitment to ethical best practices in their lives. And that in and of itself is huge. So let's take, for example, last year. Every year, it seems, we raise the bar. And for the past, I would say the past 6 years since I've been doing this, every year it's a sellout. Mm-hmm. And we've moved to different venues. Last year, we moved to the Hilton, the Anaheim Hilton by the Convention Center. That's known as having the largest ballroom in Orange County. So we could actually kind of pack in there 1,100 people, and we did.
Wow.
We sold out, which was so cool. But you know, we did that with business leaders. These were a lot of business owners, a lot of executives. There were people, just businessmen and women, that are committed to ethics in their lives. And we had a lot from academia as well. And we always try to make sure that we have represented very well all the principals, because they're the ones that we're really doing this for,
yeah.
Right? But again, it was amazing. But still, while that conference provides a valuable annual forum for business leaders, its loftier purpose, and this is what I said earlier, is to raise funds to provide financial aid for students here in the diocese who desire, but otherwise they just couldn't afford this high quality Catholic education. So it's been a real winner over the years for that.
Yes,
and continues to be.
Certainly has. Hank Evers joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, the Director of Development and Communications with the Orange Catholic Foundation. Let's talk about the process a little bit. I'm sure one event ends and you go, okay, let's take a breath for a minute. But I'm sure it's not too long before you're planning year's event,
no.
Right? So what is the process of who you're going to honor and how you decide who you want to honor and who you want to have come be a part of the morning?
Well, that's a great series of questions, because, and it's very true, that before we leave the hotel, people are asking me, well, what are you going to do next year?
Right.
You know, who do you have? And how are we going to top this one? Well, you know, last year it was, we looked at it and was like, how do we top this one, right?
I was asking myself,
I mean, holy cow, we had Patricia Heaton,
right.
That's an Emmy Award winning actress who gave, I would say, a classic performance right there on the stage talking about her conversion, right? Ethics in the world of Hollywood, that's amazing in and of itself.
Absolutely.
But she did just a remarkable job. And then Vin Scully, he closed it last year. And oh my gosh, you could have heard a pin drop while he was talking. Everybody was just glued onto every word. But so we thought, how do we top that?
Right.
Well, I thought, for the past 5 years, we've been trying year over year to get Cardinal Dolan. And it's been like impossible. Here's a guy that was the president of the USCCB and probably one of the most prominent and busy cardinals in the U.S. And well, heck, I just thought somehow, some way, we've got to make this happen, right? And so I immediately reached out to see if that would be possible. We always try to select a date, too, mm-hmm. Right? So we select a date, then we ask, for the keynotes,
right.
and then we go for the honorees. Well, anyway, so I had a date and went to reach out to the cardinal through his office in New York, and the only date that would work was May 4th, 2018. Friday morning, and it was like, okay, our conference on business and ethics in 2018 is going to be on May 4th, Friday morning. No question about it. We now have Cardinal Dolan. So I'm all excited and, let a few people know, contacted the hotel. Let's lock it in. It all worked out in the end. It worked out beautifully because what we're going to do is have Cardinal Dolan as the keynote, but we're going to have two other very prominent individuals who are fascinating speak. The first will be our MC, and I think many of the listeners here probably know who that is. It's Father Dave Dwyer. He's the host of the Busted Halo program on the Catholic Channel,
right.
On Sirius XM. Well, you know, that guy, he's fun. He's funny. He's a great MC. But, you know, he's also an individual with one incredible background. He came out of MTV. You know, a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, he had a very interesting secular life in broadcasting. And, you know, when I talked to him, he was in for RE Congress, and we talked a little bit about what he will talk about. And, you know, he's also a great homilist. I mean, all this. So he's a great speaker. So he's going to be the MC, but he's also, we're going to allocate some time for him to talk. And I think the audience is absolutely going to eat that up. It's going to be terrific.
Yeah, his show is a whole lot of fun to listen to. We're going to take a quick break quick, and when we come back, we're going to continue on through the list of guests, because I know there's one in particular that our listeners will be very interested in. We're visiting with Hank Evers with the Orange Catholic Foundation, and we'll be right back right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs.
Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools. Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're visiting with Hank Evers. He's the Director of Development and Communications with the Orange Catholic Foundation. And we're talking about the Business Ethics Breakfast that's coming up May the 4th right here in Orange County. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun because, as we've already heard, Cardinal Dolan is the keynote speaker. We know Father Dave Dwyer from the Busted Halo show on Sirius XM is the MC, going to be part of this morning. You talked about it. Last year it was a tough act to follow with Patricia Heaton and Vince Scully, but I think in some ways you've topped it this year. I don't envy you for next year. We won't even talk about next year yet.
Please, please, we're going to wait until maybe at least May 5th, all right?
We'll try to figure out what you can do to top having a cardinal involved in the festivities, because what a fun and what a great speaker he is, too. He's got his own show on Sirius XM as well, Cardinal Dolan, and which I listen to often. He's such a great dynamic speaker.
Conversations with the Cardinal.
Yeah,
it is. It's a wonderful program.
It really is. But I know near and dear to the hearts of our listeners out there that listened to us, Trinity League, they are obviously know all about one of the other honorees here, and that is the head football coach at Modern Day High School, Bruce Rawlinson. The legendary Bruce Rawlinson, going to be part of this morning as well. How are you able to bring, Coach Rallo, as he's affectionately known to so many, into the fold here?
I got to tell you, it was brilliant, but it wasn't my brilliance at all. It was the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit has guided this whole process, not just this year, but always. Mm-hmm. And I look at this one, you know, Bruce Rawlinson. Holy cow. Number one, this guy has a 287-33-2 record, right? He has 287 wins, 32 losses.
Right.
That's all.
It's crazy.
You know, that, he's coached 55 players who've won all-star honors. That's really impressive. I know a lot of people think, oh yeah, Modern Day. Well, he's brought out Matt Barkley and Matt Leinart, right. But he's brought out a lot more. I mean, just great players. But more importantly, you know, these are names that we know. But I think about what he's done in the lives of those kids, and they were kids when he had them, and he worked with kids and he turned them into young men. And, you know, he had a huge effect on every one of them. That, to me, is amazing in and of itself. And to hear him speak, he's fun. You know, everybody, anybody who's heard him speak, his voice, I mean, he's the quintessential coach. He's got the gruff, rough voice, you know, and just the way he speaks, his mannerisms, he's perfect. I mean, if you were a casting director looking for the ideal coach, you'd pick him.
Yeah.
You would. You
right.
have
he's right
to.
In essential casting, right?
He's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Yeah. But, you know, the other thing is this year he was named the National High School Coaches Association Coach of the Year.
Right.
And, you know, that's big news. It was USA Today and, you know, it's all over national news. Well, you know, he's also, oh my gosh, how many years has he been there? I'm not even sure. But it's like since 1989.
Yep.
Yeah, since 1980. Wow, think about that. That's huge. So anyway, here you've got a guy that's a role model, a father figure. He's been a life guide for hundreds of young men. And that would be what, 28 years?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, 20 for 28
almost
years.
Almost 30 years, as the head coach at Modern Day, right. And I've done numerous stories with Coach over the years, and I agree with you. I think the biggest impact he's had, we know all the big names, right? But I know some of his most proud achievements are those kids that we don't know as well, but the kids he helped, you know, get into a college somewhere, who come back years later and say, Coach, thank you for everything you did for me. You know, I'm a successful businessman now, or I'm married, I have a family, and I, you know, it all started because of being part of that team and part of that program at Modern Day. And those, I know those are the stories that are near and dear to him as well, to know that he's had an impact on kids like that.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Those are the ones that are probably far more important to him than the big names. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Every great coach, right. Those are the stories that really mean so much more as well. To have this event here, it's become such a huge event. Does it surprise you at all that it's become this quick, such a huge event, and the number one breakfast event in Orange County?
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise, but I have to tell you, I am incredibly grateful. I mean, I thank God all the time for all these successes, and there are so many through the Orange Catholic Foundation. And this being one of the top, for me. But again, I mentioned that before. I feel as if the hand of God is on what we do.
Yeah.
It really is across the board because so many successes have come our way. And it just seems, to me, almost unnatural. So, yeah, maybe I am surprised. But it's just, it's marvelous.
Yeah.
It really is.
Hank Evers joining us again this week on Catholic Sports View, Director of Development and Communications with the Orange Catholic Foundation. Now, we don't want to forget the two gentlemen that are being honored here as well. A big part of the morning as well, because with all the big names, you know, we have some people that have really, you know, dug down within the community here and really shown through what it really means, you know, to be an ethical business person here, you know, in the Orange County area. And that's really what a big part of this breakfast is about.
It really is. The bishop actually goes back to Bishop Todd Brown. And carrying forth Bishop Van awards what's called the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity. That's, you know, when you look at it, wow, that's something special. Because here, I'll just share with you what we look at. So integral to this conference are these two leaders that we select. We start with a long list, work down to a short list. We do vet very carefully these individuals to make sure that they come from the business community, and their qualifications have to be that they're being recognized as being successful in the business community. Well, there's a lot of people like that, but holding a CEO position or being an owner or high-ranking executive in a company with a large number of employees, that means that they have had the opportunity to, again, affect change and touch them, in a sense, with character, with ethics, et cetera. They need to be dedicated and demonstrably dedicated to ethical business practices, demonstrate a positive example of ethical practice in all aspects of his or her life, right? So that trickles down to their family and what they do
sure.
in their own time, their personal time. They need to have a well-established record of exhibiting ethical leadership qualities. And that includes having a history of treating employees fairly and then, of course, being a practical Catholic. And I think we all know being a practical Catholic means being an engaged Catholic, right? So, you know, you look at it and oh my gosh, last year we had Annette Walker from St. Joseph Health, Chris Furman from Ventura Foods. We've had so many. Marie Gray from St. John Knits and Gray's, very well known.
Right.
Ransperry. You know, just the list goes on, but, you know, it goes all the way back. The first ones were in 2003. And the first one was Carl Karcher. I think we all know that name, or if you don't, he was the founder of Carl's Jr.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure that Carl would appreciate seeing the quality of ads, the ethical, the ads that are shown on television these days, but anyway. He was a great man.
Yes.
No question about
no
that.
No question at all.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have the other, and this year, that's most important. So this year we have two outstanding individuals. We have Tim Buckley. Tim, he is the CEO and sole shareholder of Vintage Design and Newwood Design in South County. He's a member of Our Lady Queen of Angels, and he serves as a Eucharistic minister there. He's a member of Legatus. Graduate of Servite High School, and he's an incredible swimmer. I think I don't have the note here. Yeah, here we go. I know he's a world record holder, and that'll be in the program that we print, but a world record holder when it comes to swimming.
Wow.
So from an athletic perspective, he's, by the way, he's in really good shape, too.
There you go. Another athletic angle for us here on the show,
right? Tim Strader. Tim Strader is... again, remarkable individual. He is the attorney for the citizens who formed the city of Irvine in 1970. Now, you know, can you imagine being the attorney, not one of the attorneys, the attorney who is responsible for founding the city of Irvine? That, to me, is pretty amazing. It really is. But he has done so many things. He's the chairman of Star Point Ventures, consultant to Lennar and Five Point Communities. That's the Great Park program down in South County. He's been on the board of directors of the Seagram Center for the Arts since 1979. And he's chairman of the Irvine Health Foundation and a member of the UCI Foundation Board of Trustees. He's one of the founders of Santa Margarita Catholic High School as well, one of the founding members of Legatus. He's a member of the Order of Malta. He's with the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre and a member of Our Lady Queen of Angels Parish. So...
Kind of a big guy.
You know, I mean, wow. Big shoes, you know, big shoes these guys have. So, yeah, I certainly I'm going to have a difficult time always filling those year after year, you know, to get. But really, we have a lot of wonderful people, absolutely terrific people here in the diocese. And that's what makes it so great.
Right.
You know, that's what makes all of this possible.
You never know who's sitting in the pew next to you at church.
That's a fact. That's so true.
Yeah. Let everybody know one more time when it is. And
please. Yeah. So the Conference on Business and Ethics is coming up on Friday morning, May 4th at Hotel Irvine. It starts at 7:30 in the morning, and I guarantee you'll be out of there by 11:15 if you want. We're always punctual. And if you'd like to either purchase a ticket or preferably sponsor or advertise, the opportunities are all there. It's real easy. OrangeCatholicFoundation.org. Just go to OrangeCatholicFoundation.org. And you're all set.
And may the 4th be with you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
That's from our producer, Jimmy G, over
Yay,
here.
Hey, Jimmy G.
gotta get a Star Wars joke in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, Hank, we want to thank you for joining us this week on Catholic Sports. Thank you so much for letting everybody know about this important morning and just a huge event that it continues to be here in the Diocese of Orange. God bless you. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, and
good luck. We look forward to a great morning.
What a privilege to be here. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks again. Appreciate it. That's Hank Evers, the Director of Development and Communications with the Orange Catholic Foundation. We will take a quick break right here on Catholic Sports View and be right back. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This incredible conference is packed every year with men and women who are truly making a difference in our diocese. It's also a wonderful way to raise funds to provide financial aid for students who are unable to afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org, and we'll see you on May 4th.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. On the line right now, we have the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School, and that is Eric Borba. Coach, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on a couple of big weeks for your program here.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Glad to be on. It's been a fun ride for our guys. Looking forward to the future.
Yeah, it really has been a fun ride for somebody, so much baseball here in Southern California. And I want to kind of start by focusing on the trip out to North Carolina in the NHSI tournament out there. And you guys came back to champions. We know a Southern California team is going to return as the champion somehow. It always seems to work out that way. And you guys got it done this year. What was it like out there being part of the tournament, first of all?
It's a great experience. They do such a great job. It's a first-class event, and they got some of the best players in the country back there. So it's a great week for our guys. You know, it's a great team building opportunity for us, but going back and representing California, everybody always asks kind of, you know, what it's like back there. It's great. The talent, the competition, the teams that we play back there they're all very good teams. I don't want to take anything from it. I think that Southern California teams are just so battle tested. You know, we got to go through that grind day in and day out here because you got to show up to play every day. And so I think, just that experience going back there really puts the California teams at an advantage.
And that's what I've heard, is that the other teams from the other parts of the country are really good baseball teams, but that just shows you the level of baseball in Southern California, that all the teams here are just that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's no disrespect to any teams
that play
in North Carolina from us, but it's just, you know, you could take 16 teams from right here in Southern California, like they do with the Boris, and you can take any one of them and go back there, and they're all going to have a chance to win it. In North Carolina, they're going to be right there with anybody. So, yeah, it's just a hotbed of talent. We talk to our kids a lot about it. You know, we played a team from Alabama before we left, and then playing some teams from out of state. And there's a lot of kids here, you know, that maybe not aren't getting the opportunities on the field, but getting to see teams from out of state, you know, show them that, hey, just because you might not be in the starting lineup here in Southern California doesn't mean you can't play at the next level, because you are in the hotbed. You are competing against some of the best players in the country, and this experience and just what you go through in high school here is preparing you to be more successful at the next level. So that it's a great opportunity, a great time for our kids to really see what it's like in other areas of the world.
Yeah, obviously you're around your kids, so much, especially this time of year, and you know better than anybody. As a coach, do you ever get the feeling that, you know, you know your guys are ready to make that kind of a run, or you see the other way where maybe we're going to struggle here? I mean, do you ever get that sense? Did you have a sense that your team was going to be able to make that run against that competition?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when we go to North Carolina, our guys put winning at the forefront of everything else. You know, they're under a, I don't want to say they're in a ball, but, you know, we're with them 24/7. I mean, they're staying in the hotel together. You know, they're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. They're studying together. We have study hall together with you know, coaches and support staff that travel with us, that the whole focus for us being there is really baseball. And when you get them away from those other distractions, it seems like that focus level is such at a higher level. We took 29 kids out to North Carolina, and for those 4 days, it wasn't anything but what can each individual member do to help the team win. And they helped take care of each other in the hotel rooms, you know, making sure they're getting the rest and that they're eating correctly and doing the right thing. So I think it's a lot easier when you're on the road, believe it or not, as weird as that might sound. You know, everything there is all about winning a baseball game, where we come back home, you know, from North Carolina, flying across country, and now you got kids on their own at their own homes, dealing with all kinds of distractions. There's a lot that goes in it. The mental game is a challenge, and I think you saw that a little bit with our guys last week in the Boris tournament.
Yeah. Eric Borba joining us, head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. You know, you bring up a good point about, you know, you're together the entire time and, you know, eating together, everybody's rooming together. It's a unique experience. I remember talking to Chris Nordstrom, your head basketball coach over at OLU, and you know, he talked about the importance of having these kind of trips and the bonding experience it can be. Do you see the value in that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the relationships are huge, and we preach heavily on the idea of family here and being a family in our program. When they can go out and really spend that kind of time together, they get to know each other on a different level. You can just see that team bonding, that chemistry really just jump to new levels. And hopefully that's what can propel us into the training league as we get started this week into that. And these relationships that these kids have built will help them to continue with that team family atmosphere.
Certainly helps a kid like Cole Wynn, who certainly that name has burst onto the baseball scene. Maybe not a new name to people who know and follow high school baseball, but new to your team, you know, this year. So I mean, the chance for Cole to bond with his teammates and them to get to know him a little bit better too. I mean, that can only help too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, these kids spend so much time together. We left on Monday. The tournament end starts on Wednesday, so we were together from Monday until Saturday evening, and these kids were together in every facet of every part of that trip. So, you know, yeah, the relationships just continue to grow and get stronger and stronger.
Yeah, Eric Barba joining us, head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. We're talking about the National High School Invitational Tournament out in North Carolina. Just finished up, I guess, 2 weeks ago now as we're talking here, and Orange Lutheran came back as the champions from that tournament. I mentioned Cole. Let's talk about Cole for just a second. You know, obviously, you know, the team played so well as a team, but, you know, Cole kind of broke out of it a little bit too with his performance there and kind of burst onto the national scene. There's, you know, so some national reporters, you know, talking about, you know, his chance to maybe be drafted in the upcoming draft and all that stuff will take care of itself, you know, down the line. But, it kind of nice to get a little national recognition for the program as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Cole is just, he's a tremendous talent. He's a tremendous kid. And, you know, he did transfer to us from Colorado this year. And it's been a joy to watch him grow. I think going, you know, back to North Carolina, the first game he pitched against another high-profile pitcher named Cole Henry from Florence, Alabama. And we played in the stadium, and I think there was about 125 scouts, if I had to guess. Yeah. You know, every seat behind home plate was filled and radar guns sitting there, briefcases. We had general managers from, I believe I heard something like 25 of the ball clubs were there that day to watch the pitch. So, yeah, he continues to just go in the right direction. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in June. But this kid is off the charts as far as the talent, makeup, character, the whole thing. He's a total package. And our guys and you know, high school baseball fans have gotten to see that over the last few weeks. It doesn't seem like any stage is too big for him. He just continues to go out there and put up zeros, and it seems like he's getting better and better every day, as hard as that is to believe, because you see him one day and, you know, he's 93 to 95 miles an hour with the three pitch mix, and, you know, he comes out the next day against you know, somebody even better or a bigger challenge, and he seems to just step up and do that time in and time out. I think the scouts, you know, the buzz is that he continues to improve his drafts stock, and you know, it's a fun thing to be a part of, both as a coach and for our players to be around that. You know, we've had plenty of high profile guys come through our program, but it's a great experience for them to go through that and see what it really is.
Yeah, it's so true. And the two things I noticed right off the bat about Cole is that, you know, getting a chance to talk to him at the Boris tournament is how poised he is, first of all. And then second of all, on the mound is so important for any pitcher, is the ability to repeat your delivery. And I just noticed that about him more so than any pitcher I've seen this year, is that ability to repeat his delivery over and over again. I mean, that's huge, right? That's everything for a pitcher.
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to repeat mechanics and it's huge because, you know, his aptitude, we talk about Cole's aptitude all the time, and he might be struggling at practice or in a bullpen or maybe even in a game with the feel of a pitch, or, you know, maybe the breaking ball's not there. And it's funny because you just tell him one little thing and it clicks for him. He's able to pick up on things usually by himself. But, you know, if we notice something in the dugout, whether it's our pitching coach or just one of our coaches, another player maybe, if we see one little thing, all we have to do is give him some kind of verbal reminder and it seems like it's fixed right away. So his ability to make adjustments in game, and, you know, he hasn't always had his best stuff, because when he's got his best stuff, he's pretty much unhittable at this level, but he always finds a way to compete. You said it earlier. He just, you know, his makeup on the mound, just the way he goes about his business is off the charts. It's mature beyond his years more than I've ever seen from a pitcher at this age.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun to see, like you said, see what June brings to him and beyond. It would have been nice, I guess, to maybe come back from North Carolina, get a little bit of a break, maybe get a rest, but you guys get thrown right into the great Boris tournament as well after that. Obviously, what the best tournament here in Southern California during the baseball season. This year, certainly no exception. So many great games out there. And you guys had a pretty good showing.
We did. You know, we knew it was going to be difficult when we scheduled it back to back with the NHSI. But we tell our kids we want to play against the best all the time. We're going to play the toughest schedule we can. We knew looking at the schedule that it was going to be difficult for us to fly back from the East Coast and then play against the competition we're going to play in the Boer. So
right.
I was really proud of our guys. Shoot, we had to play Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and face another one of the best pitchers in Southern California, and Eric Coleman. And
right.
I was a little worried about that one being early and just a couple of days after the time change and flying back, the jet lag that kicked in. And you know, we did a very nice job, and being able to beat a guy like Eric Coleman said a lot about our guys. You know, I think we played a little bit tired throughout the week, which was to be expected, but I never felt like our guys lost the heart, the desire. I just felt that you could see it in our swings and in our body language and the way we did some things. We were a little bit tired, and that was to be expected. So a good learning experience for us. And again, hopefully that prepares us for what we're about to step in with the Trinity League coming up here this week.
Yeah, you mentioned that 9 a.m. game. Welcome home, Coach. You get to play who a lot of people think of the number one team in Southern California, El Toro High School. So, I mean, you know, it's just crazy when you get back out here and have to play all the teams in Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Borba joining us, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. As we know, at the beginning of the league now, it's you can't handicap it. Any of the teams have a chance to win this league, and that's just how good it is top to bottom.
Oh, without a doubt. We saw that last year. You know, I think St. John Bosco winning the Trinity League just said a lot about our league, because going into it, everybody knew Bosco was going to have a good team, but, you know, for them to win the league, I think it was the first time they'd ever won the Trinity League. You know, I think we were probably favored to win the league going into it, and mm-hmm. we finished fifth. So when you're playing a three-game series against the competition, you know, one bad break, one thing goes wrong, and all of a sudden you're looking back, and that week is behind you. You've dropped three games. So it's a five-week sprint. It's not a marathon when you're talking about playing 5 weeks, 15 games against some of the best competition. You really got to be on your A game. So, you know, handicapping it going into this year, I mean, you see Jay Serra won the Southern section of the Boris last week. Modern Day has got a great team with a lot of returners. St. John Bosco is the defending champions we opened up with this week. And they got, you know, one of the best catchers in the state of California, if not the country. The whole league is just unbelievable. Servite is playing great. I've watched them play a couple of times. You know, they're very confident. They got a lot of talent over there. They're going to be, and then you got the Santa Margarita with Chandler Champlain, and you know, they got a Milan Tolentino, sophomore, really good player. They're going to do a great job. So any one of these six teams could win it, and it wouldn't surprise me. You got to get hot. You got to do the little thing. So, really, we're looking forward to the challenge. I think our kids are excited about it, especially after last year's learning experience. You know, I think we're in a different place and being able to prepare our guys for it, having gone through it last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, momentum plays a big part. You know, you guys have some momentum going into this. Obviously, Jay Serra's got some momentum now, as you mentioned, winning the Boris Classic. Can you put any stock in that, in that momentum, or is it just does everything just completely change now that it's league time?
Yeah, I think you could put a little bit of stock in. I think our guys are pretty confident, and Jay Serra should be pretty confident, being that we've been able to, you know, win those two tournaments the last 2 weeks. I think there's got to be some confidence going into it, but as we talk about all the time, or I talk about with our guys, this game's humbling. So you can play great for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, you know, as a hitter, you go in a slump, or, you know, it seems that you're coming up with a game on the line in every situation, and you're not at your best that week, and now you're swimming upstream. Although we have the confidence and we know that we can play with anybody in the league, and we know that we have probably as good of a chance as anybody to go out there and win that thing this year, we also know that if we don't come to play every day, it's going to be another one that where we're looking back saying, what if, or why didn't we? I mean, any one of our teams can play with anybody else in Southern California. So it's just going to be fun. It's a fun opportunity. In the next 5 weeks, it's going to be a grind. There's not going to be a lot of sleeping, and there's going to be a lot of head scratching and everything else. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
nice to get a little bit of rest this weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. It's going to play out how it's going to play out, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun getting there. Coach, I want to congratulate you again on the tournament championship, and wish you well. Get a little bit of rest, and get ready for this Trinity League schedule. We're going to have a lot of fun watching everybody involved in it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Bob. Good luck. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks again. That's Eric Borba, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. Another quick break right here on Catholic Sports U, and we will come back right here on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. In an increasingly secular and strained world, Catholic schools provide a safe and secure education environment with faith and family at its core.
our students are instilled with profound faith, deep humility, and inspiring integrity that they will carry with them. Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We welcome in now the head baseball coach at J. Sarah High School, Brett Kay. Coach, congratulations on your tournament championship. You won the Boris Classic this past weekend. A lot of fun. And as we were just talking about, your team grew up a little bit in the process, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot of different combinations that we kind of ran out there, you know, took some gambles on some things and ended up working out. You know, I think this team has made a change. They're probably in the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks or so, you know, and that change is probably less of me. I mean, they've really taken to the assistant coaches. I've let the assistant coaches kind of run the practice plans and run a lot of, you know, what we're trying to do. And, you know, because we weren't having fun. We just weren't having fun early in the season, and we weren't very good, to be honest with you. And, you know, I told them at one point, I said, I don't know we're good when we beat teams as good as we are. And we hadn't done that, I felt. And that's no disrespect to anybody else. I just felt like that we were capable of doing so much more. And, you know, and I feel like they really grew up the last, you know, couple of weeks, and especially in that tournament, because we faced, you know, some really good arms and some really, really powerful programs. And, you know, I have the utmost respect for that tournament and being a part of it and being able to host it. And it was coaches have moments where you kind of, you know, separate yourself and you look at it from the outside in. And, you know, I was really proud of them. I was really, really proud of them. They did some really good things. And it was exciting. And, you know, now we start 5 weeks of fury. So we'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll get to the Trinity in just a minute. But I kind of wanted to go over a little bit of the history of the Boris Classic with you, because you are the host school, obviously, along with modern day. But really, you know, J. Sarah seems to be ground zero for what is the Boris Classic. And obviously, we know, you know, the agent Scott Boris, you know, big part of the community in Southern California. And his son played at J. Sarah for you, you know, a few years back. So obviously the Boris family really entrenched there. At J. Sarah, when was the idea kind of first broached to put this tournament together and for you guys to be a part of it?
Well, I mean, we had Trent and Shane, you know, through J. Sarah. So our relationship with Scott, you know, was always a great one. And he was always, you know, a big supporter of our program. And, you know, we kind of came together in 2011. And I had, you know, we had been in talks about creating something from a school standpoint and things that we wanted to get done here. And basically he came up with the idea of a tournament. And, you know, it was obviously wanted to be the Boris Classic and wanted to, you know, find the 16 best teams in Southern California and 16 in Northern California. And, you know, so we had talked about it, and then I had bridged with Bert. Obviously, I went to Modern Day, and, you know, I have a ton of respect for Bert and that program. And it just kind of was a match made in heaven, you know, between, you know, the Boris Foundation, Jerry Boris and Jeff Priest, and then Bert Call and myself to kind of put together this tournament, which we feel has become one of the best in the nation. I mean, Southern California baseball is just, you know, I don't want to say its own bubble, but, it, you know, we kind of created it, and, you know, just trying to find the best 16 teams, and those 16 teams could be, you know, really, really good teams or have super dudes, and, you know, so it was, and it really was, you know, for these players to not have a cost associated behind it, you know, that we could have, you know, college recruiters, excuse me, and MLB scouts and people to have a venue for them to, you know, really, you know, showcase themselves without having to do the, you know, the showcase circuit stuff in the summertime. I mean, it was really kind of to scale that down and to see a high school setting, because, you know, high school and that environment is really a quality environment, and to see kids compete and, you know, against each other, and the respect levels coaches and programs have. And, you know, that's really what we wanted to put together. But it's really about the players, and it's about student athletes and, you know, showcasing them and putting them on a platform that allows them to, you know, be the best they can be, and hopefully have an opportunity to, you know, play at the next level or get seen to be able to play at the next level. And we think we've been able to showcase that. I mean, we've had, you know, I can't tell you off the top of my head how many players go to Division I or Division II or NAIA. You know, but we've also had the last 2 years, you have Royce Lewis, the number one pick overall, and then Mickey Moniak, the number one pick. And, you know, so it's really made a name for himself. And you know, it's hard. It's a lot of work. But, I mean, it's, like I said, it's all for the kids. It's all for the players. And I know that sounds cliched, but, I mean, the reality is that's what we want to do. We want to put them on a platform so that they can showcase themselves.
No, and that's really important. I think you're exactly right. The fact that the tournament is no cost to the players and the teams, and it's a great showcase, as you mentioned, for them to for kids to be able to come in. And you're right. It's, you know, we know the Colwins and this year, and of course, you know, Royce a year ago, and you're right, all the big names. But there's that kid that maybe somebody doesn't know about or whatever that's going to get a scholarship offer out of this, or maybe gets drafted out of this because somebody sees him, right? And those are the kind of stories where you go, okay, this is really what it's about. You're exactly right.
You know, and the funny thing is, too, is like I asked, on Saturday morning, I called a couple of colleges that I know about a player that wasn't even on my team. Hey, man, I cannot tell you how impressed I am with this young man. And, you know, I mean, baseball is such a small network and it's such a small community. And I'm sure they've already seen him. But just to give another window or another voice of, you know, reason or whatever it is, say, hey, man, I just want to tell you that this kid was phenomenal. He's one of the best, you know, of this that I've seen in quite some time. So, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, I'm elated that we won. I'm elated that we did well. I mean, but it's, you know, it's the parent volunteers that did an awesome job, and it's our school admin. But it's, you know, it's being able to have those players and be able to call a, you know, Ben Orloff at UCI or John Savage or Rick Vanderhook and be able to call those guys and say, listen, I know you guys weren't able to hear, but this is what I saw, and these are the kids that, you know, I think have a real shot. And, you know, so it's special in that route because, you know, win, lose, or draw, you're going to be playing a good team against a good program with good players. And, you know, it only takes one shot for someone to be out there and be like, oh, you know, that kid can play a little bit. So it's kind of cool that way.
And then for it to play out the way it did, you know, obviously you're a private school and we got a public school in La Mirada, you know, at the end, you know, we hear about the discrepancy in football and basketball and some other sports between the private public. There is no, in baseball, there is no discrepancy. We know we have great private school programs. We have great public school programs and they can both compete against each other as we saw during this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is a completely different entity in the fact that all you need is a pitcher, let's say. I mean, La Mirada has got 45 of them. I mean, they've got so much talent in that program and so much young talent. I mean, they're going to be good for a long time. And, you know, you look at a team like Etiwanda. I mean, they had three or four guys on the mound. You know, they're coached really well. And so you look at all these schools, and then, yeah, you have the Orange Lutherans, the Modern Days, the Cathedral Catholics. Look at El Toro. They're the 2017 CIF champions, and they got Eric Tolman, who's one of the best players in the state of California, and, you know, Mike Gonzalez, who's one of the best coaches. I mean, you couldn't go wrong. I mean, I missed probably on some teams, but you're playing public school, private school, and it doesn't matter because everybody's good.
Yeah.
Baseball is just a different dynamic where, you know, it public school or not, I mean, we've been beat by, you know, Tesoro and Beckman this year, and those are two really good programs with outstanding head coaches and outstanding players. So baseball, I don't get into public private that much. With that, it probably gets in the conversation more of football and basketball. But based on there's so much good baseball, and it's not, you know, where there's one or two teams that are just so dominant. There's probably 40 or 45 teams that can win the CIF Division I championship. Or there, you know, any of those 16 teams could have won the Boris Kostyuk championship. I mean, it's just how good baseball is in Southern California, public or private. Doesn't really matter.
No, you're 100% right. Right, you get the feeling that all these teams in there, right, they all earn their way in, and everybody can compete. You're right. Any of those 16 could have won that tournament. That's how much fun it was. What's the feedback you get from the other coaches that come in and are part of it? I mean, I'm sure everybody's got to be thrilled with how it's run and how everything's put together.
Well, you know, I always hope for the positive, right? You know, we're always looking for feedback on what we can do to get better. You know, I obviously think the facilities speak for themselves with Modern Day and Jay Sarah, you know, but it's the hospitality. It's the, you know, how welcoming our families, you know, how's the BP schedule? How are the cages? You know, the product, the personnel on the field, you know, you're going to get a good game. So what can we do social media wise or auxiliary wise to make things better? And, you know, so we're always looking to make this tournament better, but usually the feedback is really a positive one and a quality one. And, you know, you want to keep this tournament as quality as it is from a level of play, but also on the outside, you want to keep this quality. You know, we have a coach's dinner at Oakley, and, you know, we're very fortunate to have Oakley to, you know, have our coach's dinner. But we want to make this the best tournament in the nation. And, you know, we want to make it the best from an outside looking in because we know, like I said, that the play is going to be one thing. So what can we do to make the auxiliary stuff, you know, great and that the families and the players and the administration and the coaches all feel welcome? And, you know, really part of it, we want it to be special. And,
you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Well, I can definitely tell you from a media standpoint, second to none. So first class all the way out there for sure. So thanks again.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun to be out there and be a part of it. Brett Kay is the head coach at J. Sarah High School, champions of the Boris Classic. And as you mentioned, Coach, you know, you head into league play now. And as I was just talking to Coach Borba about earlier over at Olu, not for the faint of heart when you get into the Trinity League. I guess the good news for you is that maybe things have just started to click now for your team, and it couldn't come at a better time now that league's ready to start.
Yeah, I mean, you're always hoping for that. I mean, I think that's what the tournament brought. It was a lot more of being together and playing together and playing as a unit and fighting for each other and competing and, you know, growing up. You know, we're not in this business to hurt feelings or do favors. We're going to put the best 9 guys out there and try to go out and compete and be the best we can at competing. And the Trinity League is a 15-game, you know, nightmare. I mean, it really is. I mean, you could win the Boris Classic and start off 0-3. You know, you could be, you know, 0-3 and have to go play and go face Cole Wynn. I mean, we go Servite, Olu, Modern Day, Santa Margarita, Bosco. I mean, that's not easy. And, you know, we just have to learn to slow it down, play it one pitch at a time. And I know it's cliche, and one game at a time. And, you know, and I'm hoping with our youth that, you know, we're just dumb enough, and I don't mean that literally, just to not let those things and the pressures really affect them. Because, you know, like we read, you know, in Joe Madden, pressure is a choice. And, you know, you have to go out and just compete and perform. And, you know, if you get everything you got and you're on top, hey, man, I'm proud of you no matter what. You know, and that's really what high school athletics is about. And, you know, of course we want to win the thing, but, you know, we've got to really slow this thing down and not try to look at the end of the season. We've got to start on Tuesday, you know, and facing probably Christian Schiffatelli and Servite, knowing how good they are. So we're ready for it. You know, it's 5 weeks of theory, and you know, this is, as a head coach, this is what you want to be in, and this is what you want your players to be in. You want to be able to play the best and compete against the best, and you know, hopefully we're ready for it.
And you've been through it, obviously, with so many different types of teams. And is this where you kind of become, you know, the psychologist, you know, part of coaching? Because, you know, sometimes you have a veteran team. Sometimes you have a very young team. Well, this year you got a very young team. So is it just trying to figure out how those young guys will just sort of take to the whole thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's, you know, in the first part of this interview, I talked about less of me. I mean, this team doesn't respond to the, you know, how I was in 2014 or 15 or 16 or the 2009 league championship teams, or, you know, every team, it's like a catcher knowing his pitching staff. And, you know, what players can you know, get in their face? What players do you have to pat on the butt? What players do you have to tell a joke to? You know, this team is really, really different that way. And we've kind of figured out that I need to stay out of the equation because my assistant coaches, I have so much faith in them. They do such a wonderful job and so lucky to have them that, you know, I need to delegate more responsibility to them because our players really are responding to them and their practice plans and what we're trying to do. And, you know, they're getting back to having fun. So, yeah, each year is different. And that's the fun part of coaching because you can't coach the same way you used to. And the game is evolving and, you know, the different data that's out there and all these different types of things. I mean, so you have to evolve with the times. And, you know, whether you want to or not, I really, truly believe that. And, you know, the dynamics of social media and outside influence and things of that nature, you know, how do you get them to play, you know, quote unquote, your style of baseball? Well, that's your job as a head coach. You got to figure that out. And hopefully it bleeds off on your players. And you know, they want to compete, go to battle for each other, and then obviously for their family, for their school, for their coaches, all those types of things. So it's always interesting because you have different dynamics. And this year has been no different. This has been one of the more weirder dynamics we've had. But it's working out for the good right now.
Yeah, it certainly is. You're trending in the right direction for sure. A year ago, you know, Orange Lutheran was the favorite going into league. Everybody kind of thought maybe that way. They end up finishing fifth in league. So we always say, hey, it's the beginning of the league. Everybody has a chance. But really, in this league, it is so true. Everybody has a chance here to win this thing. We have no idea who's going to come out as the league champion here. No idea at all.
Yeah, I mean, we knew Bosco was going to be good last year and, you know, what they had. And, you know, we had Royce and, you know, Olu had their guys, and Modern Day their guys, and Margaret, I mean, Servite their guys. You know, Servite comes out of the gate and takes 2 or 3 from us, and you just never know. I mean, you never know, and the ball could bounce a tricky way, and it could be a game changer, mm-hmm. and you could win the league by, you know, one game because that ball bounced that way, or one, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, we always talk to our guys about controlling the controllables, and control what you can control, and, you know, attitude, effort, style, play, those types of things, and the details you put into it, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. I mean, you know, good players or great players are going to make great plays. And, you know, that's what we're hoping our players do. And, you know, the best thing I can say about this team is it hasn't come from one guy. And, you know, normally if it does in league, then, you know, yeah, okay, you know, you want to be there at the end, but, you know, you've got to have a full team effort. And if you want to come out on top and be a league champion, and, you know, I think that's the right formula, is that it's got to come from so many different pieces and players accepting rules and knowing what the role is and being the best at that role. And, you know, that's the stuff where when they're competing with each other, then, you know, good things happen. But I'm excited. I mean, who doesn't want to be a part of this next 5 weeks and competing against the best? And, you know, whatever happens, let's just follow where I'm at.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun to watch. Well, Coach, congratulations again on the championship at the Boris Classic. So good luck, and we'll be following you.
All right, Bob. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. That's Brett Kay, the head baseball coach at J. Sarah High School. I want to thank my guests this week, Hank Evers from the Orange Catholic Foundation. And I also want to thank Brett Kay and Eric Borba, the two baseball coaches who joined us this week. And if you want to catch this show on replay or any of the other shows we do, simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio. We have all our shows podcasted right there for you, and you can listen to them anytime you wish as well. Join us at Catholic Sports View on Twitter. Look for us there as well. Drop us a line. And then CatholicSportsView@gmail.com is our web address if you want to drop us a note there as well. I am Bob Gibson. Thanks again for joining us right here this week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith on Relevant Radio.